Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom. And I'm excited again to welcome you to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your individual that will be sharing the new question that we have, and I'm excited about that new question. I will be one of your co-hosts, and of course I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. And at this time, I have the distinct honor to also invite the other half of our co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you. Thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction, and it is a blessing to share the truth, the Word of God. I just want to say that this is our 39th show, and we will continue to discuss our new question, which is coming, which I'll mention shortly once we start up the show. But I just want to say I welcome you all, and I pray that with our new question that you will be enlightened once again. So I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And I'll start us off with prayer. First of all, Father, thank you for the opportunity to do this show. Thank you for giving us breath and strength. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, our iniquities and transgressions. And thank you for giving us the strength that we need, desperately need, to forgive those who have sinned against us and caused iniquity and transgression against us. Father, allow us to not act in our own might or our own strength against them, but to show that compassion and that love that you show towards us when we fall and when we miss the mark. Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for that opportunity and this opportunity to allow your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, to begin to move and to flow through the airways and change the atmosphere and change that which is in us so that we can be more like your Son, Yeshua. With that being said, Father, I just submit this whole message to you, this whole time to you, in Yahushua's name. Amen and amen. And I'll pass it back to you, Evangelist Tanita, if you could kind of give us a give us an understanding of what this new question is so that we can begin to address it and tackle it by the Spirit.
Amen. And so the question is almost similar to our last question, but it's a little more detail about the Rosham, and it is, there are articles in the tabernacle, the menorah, the brazen altar, et cetera, in the Old Testament. And the question is, how can we relate them to how we're supposed to worship Yah now and meet him?
Amen. Amen. That's a good question. So how can we relate the furnishings, the furniture in the tabernacle? And I would even go even further into describing the pathway that the priest or the high priest of the Levitical priesthood, the pathway in which he went into the Holy of Holies, how can that be described as worship, and how does worship play a part of that? So when we look at that, we also know that the furnishings, and we'll just kind of mention some of the furnishings that you see when you go into the tabernacle of meeting. And when we're talking about the tabernacle of meeting here, we're talking about the tabernacle that Moses was instructed to create here on earth based upon what he saw in heaven. So we're not going to be describing, per se, the Temple of Solomon or the Temple of Herod, but we're going to be talking about and we're going to be describing the tabernacle of Moses. We're not even going to be talking about the tabernacle of David, which is a tabernacle that in the New Testament the Father said that is the prototype of what he's looking for. Now, we will touch on that, because in that prototype of the tabernacle of David, the main focus was worship 24/7. That was the main focus of David's tabernacle. And the reason why it's imperative that we kind of touch on that is because even though we go back to the actual template that the Father gave to Moses, one of the most wonderful things that we're going to see is that in David's tabernacle, this worship that he was supernaturally instructed to do and just manifested out of his being because of his relationship with God and because of his love for God, and him reminiscing of the stories of how God delivered him and helped him and caused him to be on top and not be beneath during all of the challenges of his life. That's where his music came from. His music came from his experience, his worship. His worship was his testimony. Now, as the Holy Spirit is sharing these things with you right now, some of you have looked at your testimony, you've looked at your life, and you haven't looked at it as a worship. You haven't really connected the dots and say, hey, wait a minute. My testimony is my individual worship and song to God. I am a symphony that he's creating in the things that I am going through. Not just those things that are fabulous and wonderful and blissful, if you will, but especially the things that were the most difficult for you to overcome. Did you know, and most of you probably did you know that the most horrific, most catastrophic, most unearthing situations that happened to the children of Israel, those items were saved and placed in the Ark of the Covenant or the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. The most horrific things that happened, the most rebellious things that the children of Israel collectively were doing against God and against Moses. When God made a significant emotional event happen in their life and caused them to see themselves, he took an item that represented that situation, that circumstance, and he placed it in the most holiest part of the tabernacle. And he did that so that they could understand the value of mercy. Three of those items we'll cover. This is just an introduction to the introduction of us talking about worship and talking about the furnishings and how we are to interact with God with these furnishings in us so that we can have the purest worship that he desires. But back to what I was saying, or actually back to what the Holy Spirit was saying, because he's the one that's presenting this even at this very moment for you. Because that which is for them is also for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to hide from your worst nightmares of things that you have done rebelliously against God. He wants you to remember those, not to rehearse them, but to bring value to his mercy. See, because we can't enter into the Holy of Holies until we understand the value of his mercy. Because if I don't understand the value of his mercy, then I won't honor it. I will abuse it. I will not give him the due respect and honor that's due him based upon his mercy. I will disrespect him and disrespect others, to include my own self. So one of those three that we were talking about, just one, is the rod that Aaron had that budded. That rod represented the authority of God and the delegated authority that he had placed in the house. Because remember, there was a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And that rebellion was so serious that 3,000 individuals were swallowed up by the earth as a representation of what God does when individuals rebel against his authority and delegated authority.
Mm.
And God had Aaron and the others bring forth a rod so that everyone could understand who God had deemed the authority in the house. That rod was placed near and inside the holy place, near the mercy seat. There was also a jar or a pot of manna. Now remember, that manna was given because they were upset and wanted to go back. And in each one of these three cases, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the hard slave labor. They wanted to go back to what they felt and thought was secure. Safe.
Mm.
And in that, with the manna coming, and remember, the manna was God teaching them to honor his days, to honor his Sabbaths, to understand that he is the provider for every day of the week, and doubly on the day, the preparation day before the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And he let them know that if they were to go and try to get manna on the day of the Sabbath, that that would be dishonoring him. But yet they did it anyway. And he had to show an example once again. He told Moses to put a jar of manna and to put that inside the mercy seat so that we, so that you and I could understand the importance and the value of his mercy. And last but not least, he also made sure that the two tabernacles, or the tablets of stone, were in the mercy seat. That tablet represented the very heart of the obedience that you and I must walk in on a regular basis in order to obtain his mercy, to obtain his presence, to have full access to everything that's his. Now, from a Christian perspective, we're taught that these are 10 commandments. But we understand Hebraically that there were 10 words, and those 10 words were categories. They weren't just sentences. They weren't just commandments. They were categories. They represented a category of understanding pertaining to do's and don'ts that cover that particular word. So God was saying, within the totality of you and I walking in a right relationship with him, each one of these words represent a category. And because the fact that there are 10, they culminate a judgment that would come upon you, would come upon us, if we failed to do them, and if we've refused to be obedient. So through these three articles, he was teaching us to be obedient to his mercy, or be humbled. He was teaching us to trust that he will be our provision. He was teaching us to depend upon his delegated authority. And with all of those three, then we will, not one and not the other two, but all of those three, we will obtain his mercy. As a matter of fact, we'll be living within the homocomb, or the little sphere of his mercy, of his protection, of his honor, of his glory, of his relationship and fellowship. But before I move on, I want to make sure we cover the fact that these three were the most horrific, if you will, most horrific things that the children of Israel collectively had done against God and against his delegated authority. And God says, I want you to remember these. Not so that I can keep you in a state of shame, because God gets no glory out of our shame. What God gets glory out of is out of our growing and learning from our mistakes and our perfecting our walk with him. That's the glory that he's looking for. He's looking for the perfection. He's looking for the understanding of, you know what? That was terrible. Mm-hmm. But from that, I'm going to learn how to love you. These three articles teach us what love is for God and to God. That's what those three articles teach. And those are the three articles that are found in the holy place in the mercy seat, in order for us to always remember and always know what his mercy truly does mean and what it is. He wants us to value his mercy because he wants us to value him. He wants us to value his relationship with us and our relationship with him. He values himself. So therefore, he expects us, if we want a relationship with him, to take all of the horrific things, the most significant emotional things in our life that have put us at a crossroads and caused us to really come in at the end of our rope. And at that point, he says, that's where my mercy is the most valuable.
Amen.
Yes, we're going to begin, you know, we're going to begin to discuss, you know, the worship. But we got to know what the worship is all about.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be able to value the worship and value the relationship and value our mistakes. He values, do you know, he values our mistakes.
Amen.
He values them because he wants us to know that his mercy is more than enough. And the only way that you or I are going to find that out is when we get to the end of our rope and he is there for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
and this
amen.
Is not anything that anybody can actually teach you, Evangelist Sunita. They can't teach you
amen.
Your testimony. This is something that has got to be lived.
Yes.
And you're not living it if it's not hurting you.
That's true.
You are not living your testimony if you are not receiving the pain that it takes. And to think that this is only a supplementary pain compared to the pain that Yeshua had to go through for us, so that we can have access through this tabernacle template experience. So what I was going to start off with, which is better to start off with what God wants to start off with, amen? But what I was going to start off with, which is what I'll begin our conclusion with, is Psalms 100. And we're going to read verses 1 through, I want to read 1 through 4. Okay, so if Evangelist Tanita can get Psalms 100, chapter 100, verses 1 through 4. That's what I was going to start with, but I always like to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, because this is his service. This is his broadcast, his radio blog. So we're going to let him give what we need to us for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're looking at Psalms 100.
Yes.
Now, within these four passages of Scripture, there are a few that I want to highlight that are really going to jump out at you. Okay? So I don't want you to miss the highlights of the ones that are just going to, you know, jump out at you, especially verse 4. When you get to verse 4, I'll let you go through all of these, but when you get to verse 4, I want to begin to go through that. And yes, again, we're going to cover, or at least verbalize, the different furnishings. But I wanted to start from the inside out. Because that's where the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to deal with our insides. Amen. He wants to deal with our insides. So I pray that really is touching you. I pray that, and this is your homework assignment for those of you who are listening, begin to go back and look at the most rebellious times. And I'm not talking about the rebellious times before Christ. I'm talking about the rebellious times after Christ. Because too often individuals go immediately to the before Christ, you know? But what we have to understand is that we are a work in progress. And the best way to know that is to begin to realize that, hey, you know, that right there is, after he saved me, I'm still doing these things.
That's right.
I'm still having areas that I need to really get right before him.
Amen.
Because those are the areas that he wants to place in the Holy of Holies. Not because it is going to taint him, because it's not. But so that you will value his mercy. So if you would, go ahead and read for us, Evangelist Anita, Psalms 100, verses 1 through 4, and focus everyone on verse 4, because that's where we're going to begin our conclusion of our start. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me, Psalms 100, starting at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name.
Amen. So when you jump in and you see when you see what it says as far as serving the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful singing. So the question is already being answered. The question that was asked about the furnishings and about worship, it's already being answered. God wants to hear the song that you're singing. Now understand, it's not just any song, but he gets delight in the song of the testimony of your personal victories that you're having because you have acknowledged and allowed him to come in and to begin to fix the problem that you had. It always brings forth a song. Back in the Hebraic custom, that was a commonality for them, that they would continually begin to give forth a song. That's why the tribe of Judah, or the tribe of Judah, was first in the procession, because they would lead with singing. And they were singing the testimonies of the accolades and the great things that God would do and has done. This is a pattern that Moses learned from God himself. if we can read Exodus, and we've read it before many times, but this will help bring it into perspective. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. Because as you begin to sing these things, it begins to get the attention of the Father.
Yes.
And he begins to take notice, not only to what you're saying, but to why you're saying it. There are many that sing songs that have individual meaning, but the mm-hmm. meaning is void to those who sing it. God doesn't just look at what you sing. He looks at why you're singing it.
Mm.
What's the heart motivation? Because mm. your and my heart motivation is what motivates God. And if you're singing something that does not bring forth an unction from the heart of a motivated individual that desires something from God, he doesn't show up. You just had a nice little singing session. Prayerfully, everybody was in tune. And it didn't hurt the earlobes. And hopefully the instruments were utilized in a skillful manner.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have a God encounter.
Mm.
Because God knows and looks at the intents of the heart. And it's when the heart needs him the most is when he shows up with his mercy. Because remember, just like those three items were the three most horrendous times of rebellion. So God said, remember this. Not for shame, but so that you can remember the mercy and the glory that came upon these when they happened. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7.
Yes.
If you can go ahead and read that for us, Evangelist Tania.
Yes, Rabbi John. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord.
Stop for just a second. The Lord is the one that's proclaiming his own name. The Lord is the one is the one who is there with Moses. Moses was instructed early in the morning to come up before up to the mountain himself with the two tablet stones that he had broken, so he had to redo those. Okay? So there's an obedience mm-hmm. aspect of that. Okay? And remember, this is one of those items that is continually in the mercy seat. So he had to come alone. He had to come alone with that item of obedience and that item of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know the scripture says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Right.
So he had to bring forth these stones. And then the Lord comes down. And then he begins to teach Moses. Go ahead and read, and then we'll close.
And the Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.
Well, with that, I'm going to have to need a close, and we're going to pick it up there next week. You don't want to miss it. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Praise Yah. So thank you all for continuing to join the show, and next week we will finish up with the questions. Our show is held weekly on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions, you can email us at tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Bethlehem Ministries, and there are two websites in which you can reach us. The first one is www.bethlehem.org. That's B-E-T-H HASHEM.org. Excuse me. And then our second one is the Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/BethaShamMinistries. Also, if you would like to attend services, if you would email us for directions at BethaShamHASHEM@yahoo.com. That is BethaShamHASHEM@yahoo.com. And for those of you who desire to have a deeper in-depth study, we have a college. It's called Zuhl College. And we will have classes that will begin again soon. But if you would email us at office@BethaShamMinistries.org. And, again, thank you for attending the show. And good night. I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi Jones.
And shalom, shalom. I pray that each and every word hits the right area in your heart and begins to reveal to you those areas of complete rebellion, complete transgression, in the Hebrew, pasah, so that you can begin to see, because until you get there, you will not, we will not, none of us will, totally be able to answer the understanding from the heart of the true mercies of Yah. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us to not only know ourselves and understand ourselves, but also through knowing ourselves and understanding the sins and iniquities and transgression of ourselves,
yes,
that we are understanding even the more the realities of the true love that you have laid up for us, the true mercies that happen every single day.
Yes.
So, Father, we proclaim it, we receive it. We ask you to help us walk this thing out,
yes,
so that we will attain and remain in the fullness of your glory and fame. In Yahushua's name we pray. Until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.